Here we go. Turn with me to Zechariah 9:9. I want to share this message, the view from the ass. Look to your neighbor, say, the view. The view. No, not that talk show. Not the talk show, but the view. Now, we know this to be Palm Sunday, and there's so many preachers that are preaching on the Palm Sunday. Hosanna entered in. They're screaming. They're laying down their branches. Some are laying down their coats. But I want to speak to you today on the perspective from the ass's perspective. Amen. If this is just a little bit too much for you, I love you. But more importantly, Jesus loves you. He loved you even in your mess. Hello, somebody. He loved you in your mess, in your sin, in every stinking thinking that you had. He still loved you. Amen. I'm so glad that my filth didn't turn him away from me. I am so glad that the God that I serve didn't turn his back on me because of my filthy rags. I'm so glad that the God that I serve reached down into the lowest part of the pits and said, that's my son, and I will stay with him, stand with him, and I'll lift him up, and I'll lift him out of that place. That's the God that we serve. He don't care what you look like, what you smell like, or what you've been through. He loves you just the way you are. He loves you so much that he won't leave you just the way you are. Hello, somebody. At some point in our life, we have got to get to a place of transition to get out of what we once knew to get into something fresh in you. Amen? Lord, we're going to have to put that IV into your veins to let you know that, my God, it's time to awaken, it's time to rise, it's time to shout, because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen? In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it reads this way. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. That's you. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. That everything in this world will be tested, Lord, but your word will stand true. For you are the word of truth. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you've already continued to do in our lives. And Lord, I thank you that we're stepping out of old and we're walking in victory. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This particular Zechariah prophesied this 500 years before Christ ever came. Isn't it something that the prophet can declare how Jesus is going to enter into Jerusalem? And you would find it very interesting that a prophet begins to declare that he's going to enter in riding in on an ass. For some of you don't like that word, it's a donkey. He's coming in. That's our king. Our king. Entering into the place that is his city, his people, coming in on a donkey. And we all hear the stories and all the preachers preaching about the triumphal entry when Jesus comes into this city. But we forget what took place and how he entered and the view from the one that was tied up. Go to the next slide, sir. Matthew 21. Go to Matthew 21. It'll be verses 1 through 11 of Matthew 21. And when you have it, say amen. When you have it, say amen. When you have it, stomp your feet. There's a few of you. Some of y'all just a little bit offbeat a little bit. So let's go ahead. When you have it, stomp your feet. Okay, some of y'all just doing the pachata. Other ones are doing the salsa. Some of y'all doing the Cotton Eye Joe. When you have it, stomp your feet. Some of y'all starting to get it. Y'all doing the chicken dance. But when you have it, stomp your feet. Oh, here we go now. Here we go. All right. Now listen here. It says in Matthew 21, verse 1, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. He sent two of them ahead. Next slide. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Do you read that? You read there. There's two. All right, now, there's a reason for that, and I want you to see it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. Are y'all reading it? You got it? Are you reading it in your Bibles, or are you just reading what I put up there? Okay, check your Bibles. Check your Bibles. Matthew 21:4 says, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, next slide. Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Next slide. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. It's true. I thank you for it. Lord, I understand your word, Father, to be life-changing, life-altering, and Father, power, because it's the living word of God, and I thank you for it. I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. All of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give an account of this particular entry of Jesus coming into the city riding on an ass. But you read there, he said, I want the donkey and its colt. It's foul, the colt. There's two. And I began to inquire, God, why is it so important for you to be bringing the donkey and the offspring? Why is it so important if you were riding on the donkey, why did you bring the offspring as well? Look to your neighbor and say, we're going somewhere with this thing. Come on, we're going somewhere with this thing. Are you hearing me? It's one thing they say, go get me the donkey and bring the donkey here. Oh, but by the way, there's an offspring that's with it. Bring the offspring with it as well. I'm here to encourage you. You may be going through something in your life, and then you may feel like you are tied up and bound up and you are outside the door. But God is saying, I'm sending some servants to you to untie you and your offspring. I'm going to untie you and your lineage. Everything that is associated and connected to you is blessed because of you. As long as you understand, I have called you for such a time as this. You may be an outcast. You may be stinking. You may not even know the gospel, but God says, I know you for who you are. Oh, y'all better hear this. He sent two of them. Two of the disciples go in. Why two? Because if it was the beginning when he sent them out, in the beginning of his ministry, when he spoke to them and he sent them out two by two. Do you remember that? Let's go even further back in the days of the ark, the big ark with all the stinking animals. He sent them two by two. Are you hearing this? God is always working to go above and beyond the original intent. He wants to prove to you that what he has for you is greater than the original. Oh, Jesus, you better hear this. And I love it that Noah didn't have to go looking for the animals. They came to him. And it reminds me in Genesis when Adam was getting ready to name the animals, did he go looking for the animals? No, God brought the animals to him. Somebody better hear this. God is bringing the animals to you and bringing the offspring that is associated with them two by two. It don't matter that your son may be out there in drugs. It doesn't matter that your daughter is out there acting like a whore. God is going to get a hold of them and bring them in together because his purpose is to save humanity and save them once and for all. He don't care what it looks like. I'm going to send them to you. Prepare your hearts. Woo. Woo. Some of you visitors are looking at me now. Why is he screaming? Because I love it. I don't care what basketball star, what football star. I don't care what walks in here. I don't care. But let the word of God always be the foremost in my life. I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about it. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't know the cost. You don't know what I've been through. But I stand here today in spite of everything else that you don't even know till you can put a finger on it to understand it. I stand here to say the word of God is true. It's true. It's true. It's true. Come on. Hallelujah. There's a dying world out there. There's people that are tied up. They're bound up. They got mental issues. They got broken hearts. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to pornography. They're addicted to the things of the world. They're bound. They're tied up. What is the church doing? Is the church so worried on how it looks that they can't reach to someone who is crying out, I need hope. I need hope. But are we reaching out? But we're so worried about how it's going to be, how we're going to do it, if we're going to offend. There's an illness that is so real. But we don't understand it. And this illness will keep you bound and tied. And you'll always feel that you're outside and never inside. You will always feel that you'll never be good enough to get in. You always be outside. And this illness will cause you to feel like you're less than. And it becomes a reality in your life that you can't mount up to anything else. Even through all the successes and accolades, you always feel like you're on the outside. And people won't understand this illness. They'll tell you to get over it. They'll tell you that it's just a misconception. It's a lie. But when you hear it that much, it becomes a reality. There's a dying world that needs a loving father. Jesus didn't come for those that were righteous. He didn't come for the church. That was his to begin with. He came for the ones that no one wanted to reach. That no one wanted to touch. No one wanted to embrace. I don't care who you are. What you're in right now, there's a way out. There's a way out of that sickness. There's a way out of that darkness. And there's a way to break that curse. And his name is Jesus. For whoever you are that feels like there's no hope and there's no reason to live, I offer this church to you. not to join it, not to feel like you need to know anything of the Bible, but I offer this church to be available to you when you need us. Regardless of your religious background, regardless if you even know that God exists, because your life is still precious regardless. I pray that when you see this video or hear this on the recording, that you take note of this number. This is our house number. It's 888-779-6009. When you call that number, and if you're in need of prayer, it'll be available to you. And we don't care where you're at or what you're doing, but someone will be willing to talk to you. And they will pray with you and believe God for your healing. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are loved and you have a purpose. And I pray that you hear this message and hear the heart of the servant that is speaking to you right now. There is another option for you to get you out of that place. So I speak to you now. Be encouraged, beloved, that Jesus loves you. You may not know him, or you may be angry at him for something that took place in your life. But I'm here to tell you, he sent us to loose you because he has need of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We see this in this particular story that he sends his disciples, two of them, which are never named, to go and to untie the donkey, the ass, and its colt, and bring them to me, for I have need. But I found it very interesting that it says that when they ask you, what are you doing? Untying them. It's so interesting if you look at it from the perspective in the world that we live in today. The moment you go to seek help, there's always someone trying to keep you bound, trying to keep you in the mess that you've been associated with. But the word that Jesus sent with the disciples is what got them loosed. Because even when they asked the particular question, Jesus already had the answer. And tell them, loose them, for the master has need of them. He never named who the master was. I want you to understand something. Whatever you've been through, whatever you have done, or maybe the things that are in your mind, Jesus still has need of you. Each and every individual in this house, or by the way of the podcast, or you too, God has need of you. And he wants to loose you so that he can use you and ride in on you. In other words, that is signifying it's not the weight of the world that should be on you. It's the presence of God that should reside on you. Amen. And we see this particular story. We see it from the perspective as he comes in, on his first entry, he comes in riding on the colt. But when Jesus returns, he's going to be riding on a great white horse. On this particular entry, in the triumphal entry, he's coming alone riding on a colt. But when he returns, he's coming with the saints and with all the angels of heaven. In this particular passage, you begin to see that he goes through the process and he begins to go through Passion Week and they put a crown of thorns on him. But when he returns, he's wearing the crown of all crowns. They ridiculed him. They called him the King of the Jews. But when he returns, he'll be the King of Kings. In the stories in the gospel, he had no money for taxes. But my God, when he sits in heaven, he owns all things. He was mocked and jeered, made fun of. When he returns, they will fear and tremble for who he is. In the Gospels, he came as a man, but he will return as God. He was meek and lowly, but he will come in power and with all glory. He had nails in his hands, but when he returns, he will come with a rod of iron. He hung on a cross, but now sits on a throne. He was judged in Pilate's hall, in his courts, and now when he returns, he will be judged. He came in as a lamb, but returns as a lion of Judah. We have to understand that we see these things in the Gospels, and we have to understand who he really is. But we so focus on what he was. But even in who he was in the Gospels is for you to understand that's who you are. That's who you are. He came to show you who you are in him and what you can do while here on this earth. Not to wait for your healing for later, but to get it here while you're here now. Not to wait for you to be delivered of demons later, but here and now, because that's who you are, is to be delivered and set free. And not to be resurrected later, but to be resurrected now, out of your old and into your new. He's here for you here and now, but you are to see the fullness of what he did here on earth so that you understand what you're to walk in. Let's look at the lessons that we find here from the ass. Jesus had an agenda for the donkey. He had a plan. He had a purpose. But was tied up outside of the city. Many of the world system will keep us tied up and bound and keeping us away from his presence. But God is saying, I'm going to reach into the world system to pull you out of it to bring you into my kingdom. I'm going to reach you right where you're at. I'm going to touch you right where you're at. And I'm going to bring you into dominion and power and glory. And I will call from you out of this world. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Isn't that beautiful? An expected end. Expected end. Know your end. Know your end. It's better than your beginning. The second thing we need to realize is that the donkey was chosen to fulfill the plan of God. In John 15:16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Oh, that's so beautiful. Ask in the Father's name and it shall be given unto you. Why? Because you're his. You're his. Ephesians 2:10. You are his workmanship. Why? Because we are chosen that we might be used for his purpose. You are his workmanship. If you don't like the way you look, you don't like the way your figure is. He made you in his image. Quit fighting God. Oh, Lord. I know there's some plastic surgeons out there. Plastic. They want to make you look good for a price. Want to make you feel good for a price. But whatever is void and empty in your life, Jesus already paid the price for you so that you can see that you are already better, feeling better, looking better. Amen. I've done a lot of counseling with some people that had demons all up inside of them. And when they came in, they looked horrible, beat down, torn up from the floor up. But the moment the presence of God through prayer has entered in, they leave that very instant changed and in their right mind. They look better than when they came in. They feel better than when they walked in. Why? Because the power of prayer and His presence changes everything about you. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:27 says this, "For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." When you've been baptized, you have now put on Christ. Isn't that beautiful? What is that signifying? I'm taking the old you off and I'm putting on the new, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. But we walk around thinking we're the same people that we once were years ago. How many of you have people tell you, "I remember who you are? Back in the day, you know, you used to get down and dirty like that." "Oh, I remember who I used to be. You don't know me who I am today." Mm-hmm. Try to put some old things up on you. Try to keep you bound. Try to get you out of the glory and put you back into that world system and get you bound and tied up. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. What you got to understand is you need to change. And if you don't change, I don't know who this is for, but I'm going to say it. If you think your actions are justified because of your anger issues, get over yourself. Get over yourself. The whole reason why you have anger issues is there's a void in your life and you don't know how to deal with truth. So when truth comes your way, you get mad, angry. Start putting your words, start putting your mouth, start putting all kinds of things on people. You better change. Oh, you better change for whoever you are. Whoever you are, make change. Because you can't keep walking around that old self and thinking that Christ, the hope of glory, is residing on you. Because what happens is you want to take Him off and put your old clothes back on. Oh, Lord. In Genesis 22:2 reads this wise. "And He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Isn't it something when God requires something of you that is so close to you? Will you obey? Will you obey? Will you continue to do it even though it's not favorable to you? Will you continue to do it? You see, the donkey had never been ridden on. It had never been broken, but yet it still had to listen to the master. It had to learn to be obedient and submissive. But I find it very interesting that the moment that they untied the donkey and the colt, that it was immediately broken. Don't miss this. The moment the presence of God enters into your life and breaks off the chains and the yokes that are on you from the world system, you will become obedient to the things of God. Yes. You may fight against it from time to time. That's the mind. But Christ Himself has already broken that thing off of you, and the willingness inside of you is already there to submit to Him. Oh, Lord, you better hear this. What gets in the way of the willingness to serve Christ is your mind. Because you want to rationalize everything. It's got to be this way. It's got to be with so and so. Things got to be put in this particular order in order for me to do what I think I need to do. And God is saying, once you learn my way is not your way, then you will see some change in your life. Listening to that story with Abraham and Isaac, I used to fight against that thing. They used to tell me, "You better put your son on the altar. we about to throw down. Put your sin on the altar. Well, that's not what he's telling me. I'm telling you. See, when it's close to you, we don't want to do it. But when it's somebody else, oh, you just need to be obedient. Really? Because it's not being told to you, huh? We try to put things on other people because it's easier to see it on them and tell them, but you yourself won't do it yourself. Oh, you just got to submit to God because you see all things are going to work together for your good and his glory. Amen. What about you? Well, see, that's a little, we're going to get back to that thing. Why? Because we have a tendency to always fight against what God wants us to do. But this cult, just obey. Now watch this. I want you to see this from the perspective of the donkey. The position of the donkey made Jesus elevated. It made him elevated. It made the service, in his service to God, it made Jesus become more visible than the donkey himself. Are you seeing that? Can you imagine the donkey? You know donkey. You know donkey. You know donkey. Don't look to your neighbor. Do not look to the left or to the right. That's not the donkey I'm talking about. I'm talking about the donkey that always wants to be seen, always wants to be heard, and always wants to be the one. Look at me, look at me. This donkey just went yes. And was humble. If we humble ourselves, Jesus will be seen and not you. If we humble ourselves, Jesus will be seen and not your ministry, not your talents, not your gifts, not your exploits, not your resume. Jesus will be seen. Amen. Well, we have gotten so far off course because we want everybody to look at what I got. I got 16 churches under my belt. I'm bishop over bishops and the bishops of the bishops' bishops. How many bishops? Wow. You did all that. Well, yeah, that's true. I have a plan. You mean God's plan? You see what I mean? We're so focused on building our kingdom and building things around us that we're losing the fact that Jesus was the one that is really the ministry. He's the purpose of what we do, to see people that need Jesus can find Jesus in the midst of a crowd and say, there's Jesus. You see, when he was coming in, there was a crowd of people throwing down branches. And if they didn't have branches, they were throwing their coats on the ground. But I found it very interesting, before any of that took place, Jesus put a covering over the lowest of lowest. And those that was not broken, those that were tied up, and they put coats over the donkey so that Jesus can ride on. That signifies that God is covering everything in your life. And if you just allow him to rest upon your life, he will cover the multitude of sin. And he will make you become a humble servant for the things that he has need of you to do. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. That's it. And I love it that he didn't choose one of those white long-haired horses. Because you know how those horses are, they're beautiful. They even braid their hairs. And they brush it. They give it apples and, you know, treats. It's a horse. It's a horse. But see, if he would have came in on a horse, then they would have recognized him as king. Power and authority. But Jesus is saying, you need to recognize me for who I am right now. Without everything else, know who I am and everything I've already done, I've done it for you. And if you know me with the things that you can't see, that's called faith. But you will understand that your faith will bring to you who I really am. And I will always fight your battles for you. I will always be the one coming with a host of angels to fight on your behalf. But you have to see me coming to you, not as a threatening king, but as someone that is coming to you that will welcome you into my arms. Woo! Nothing about the donkey took away from Jesus. Nothing. Can you imagine the donkey say, I'm loosed. I'm no longer tied up. I'm loosed. But no one's looking at me. No one even notices me. I'm just walking in and my offspring is following me. Just following. Watching how I allow God in my life to be ushered in to other people's lives. My offspring is just watching how I'm being humble and not being proud. My offspring is watching me as I just do as the Master says. And I'm not being boastful about anything. I'm just being obedient about everything. And my offspring begins to see a way of following after the things of God that patterns a way for the offspring of my offspring and the generations to follow. No, I just got to do what I saw my mama do. They're praising him. Hosanna in the highest. They're singing praises. And imagine the offspring, the colt, is just following behind. And nothing is placed upon the colt. But he's just following. See, I used to think that Jesus was riding on the donkey. But in John, it says he was riding on the colt, the fowl, the offspring. And I begin to pray, God, wait a minute. We have four gospels that give the account, but only one says that you came in on the colt. What is significant about it? He says the generation that goes before prepares the way, but the generation that comes after is that of a different spirit. Because that of a different spirit, like Joshua and Caleb, they're going to rise. They will rise and take authority and take power and dominion over the land. But I have to ride in on this generation because the former generation is still caught up in a religious mindset. But this young fowl only knew how to be submissive. Woo! Why was it so important that Jesus be lifted up? He could have just walked. To fulfill scripture of Zechariah 500 years before, to come in riding on a donkey, come in riding on the colt, the offspring, so that he can be lifted up and he would draw all men unto him. See, the more we lift Jesus up in our services, men will be drawn unto him. But if we lift up our ministries, try to make our platform, try to be seen, try to be heard, where's Jesus in this? So many people say, I have a ministry, this is what I do, this is what I do. I'm glad that's what you do. But what is Jesus doing to you? What is he challenging you to give up, and how to be different and quit acting the same? We got to be obedient and let Christ be lifted up. Don't build your kingdom. Let Jesus' kingdom reign and be exalted. When Jesus becomes more visible in our lives, we will see the responses of the people in this account. Watch this. The crowd would question, who is that on the donkey? When we allow Jesus to be glorified in our lives, people will talk and want to know more about the Christ you serve. When we live our lives in humble service, Jesus will be glorified. When we're where Jesus is, his glory will overflow into your life. Amen? I'm tired of having church after church after church after church and not seeing people's lives change. And we question, why do we continue? The question was presented to me is, why do you do what you do and still seeing the results in people's lives? Because somewhere down the line, you don't know when they need you and they say yes to God. You may be the only church, body, temple that they will ever enter into. And how you interact with them, be careful. Don't be judge of their sin. That's not your job. He's the judge. But be the hope that they need in a dark time. Let the light radiate through you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you resemble the donkey? Do you resemble the donkey? He was tied. Many are hooked on drugs, victims of habit, bound by a lifestyle that has been passed down from generation to generation, or become associated because of what they see, what they view, and what's been told to them. Hooked. This donkey was untamed, never ridden, stubborn, rebellious in nature. Are you the donkey? He was outside. Many of people without Christ are outside the kingdom. They're outside the place of hope, outside the place of love and acceptance. Are you the donkey? Ephesians 2:12 says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Do you resemble the donkey? The donkey was at a crossroads where two ways met. Are you at a place of decision in your life? Do I live or do I die? Do I continue or do I quit? Are you at the place of decision in your life? Are you the donkey? He was by the door. He was tied to the door. See, Jesus is the door. As long as you keep yourself close to Jesus, he will open the door for you. And you'll find your way in. You'll find your way into glory, way into paradise. And outside, you'll be looking to want to enter in. Accept him for who he is. It's not a story of a man. It's a story of God that became man. John 8:32. In John 10:9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. The donkey was untied. Jesus sets us free. In John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth will untie you. He was brought to Jesus. Many people will reach out to you because they want to be brought to Jesus. They want to see and have the peace that you have, the joy that you have, the patience. The patience. The temperament. The kind words. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all are like, oh, shoot. You're saying, are you the cult? Are you the cult? The cult did not resist. Jesus sat upon him. He was used for God's glory. Hosanna in the highest. He was submitted to the will of the Savior because Jesus rode in on him. To live as a donkey, you must recognize that God is requesting your presence so that you may be used of him. His plan for you is that you would let him be Lord of your life. Clothe yourself with his presence. Because the same people that were praising him in the courts are the same people that turned away from him. You don't read ever again that the donkey turned away from him. See, when you really give your life over to Christ, he changes your disposition and he changes your position so that you have the understanding that he has clothed you with righteousness. You're not the same individual. But if you continue to have the mindset and belief system, you'll be bound by ways of your thinking as opposed to the way of your faith. Faith will always go against the natural things in your life. Because everything natural in your life is something that you can see. Everything supernatural is things that you can't see. You must experience by faith. And the things that God wants you to understand is what he has in heaven is in you right now. What he has already released in the heavens is for you right now. You don't walk around bound being saved. There may be some issues that you have to change your learned behaviors. And these learned behaviors will keep you tied up. But Jesus has sent the Father and the Holy Spirit to loose you to see the very thing that Jesus has done for your life so that you can find hope in a dying place. That you can see the light in a dark place. God is sent his son for you. All you have to do is receive him. Stand to your feet if you would, please.